Donald Trump's trip to Davos, Switzerland to threaten and further bully other world leaders is already off to a rough start, and you love to see it. Now, keep in mind, Trump is flying to Davos to meet with the very world leaders that he has been relentlessly threatening on the world stage, not only for the past year, but mainly for the past week or two in regards to Greenland. He has threatened tariffs, he has leaked private messages, he even sent a letter to the Prime Minister of Norway saying that because he didn't get a peace prize, he no longer wants peace. So after all of this unhinged behavior, Donald Trump is going to land in Davos, Switzerland, and very likely make it all about himself, all about me, me, me. Now, the trip already started off in a disastrous way after we watched Donald Trump board Air Force One on the tarmac. He was yapping, saying insane stuff late at night. He hops on Air Force One. Then we see Air Force One abruptly turn back off of the East Coast, right off of New York, and head back to Joint Base Andrews for reasons unknown at the time. People were wondering, is this a health issue? Is this a health emergency? Then people were wondering, did Donald Trump throw such a tantrum that the pilot was like, I'm turning this flight back. We're just going right back. So then we learn a small technical issue caused Air Force One to turn around. Trump and his entire team had to deplane, replane, and therefore delayed their schedule. We know that Donald Trump likes planes, but he absolutely hates any sort of inconvenience, so this already started the week off very poorly. Trump is not arriving in Davos calm or prepared or steady-handed. Of course, that would be just an insane reality to live in if Trump had a steady hand. But he arrives after a turnaround flight, clearly tired, after a week of global ridicule and humiliation, after lashing out at Greenland and over Greenland towards other allies like the UK and Norway and Finland and about a dozen other countries that he's now placing tariffs on. Then he creates a board of peace, tells Macron not to join, but Putin to join. Just a week of global humiliation, and now his trip to Davos isn't going any better. This is the official reporting from last night. Air Force One turned around en route to Switzerland and is heading back to the U.S. with the president aboard due to minor electrical issues, the White House says. That is the White House narrative. It's not unrealistic that a small electrical issue caused them to turn around. Occam's razor would say the simplest answer is the best, but with this administration, you just can't believe a single word that comes out of their mouth. I'm just picturing Caroline Leavitt doing this reporting, and I just intrinsically do not believe it. It's also worth pointing out, before Donald Trump even touched down to Davos, he's already causing a stir. He is already causing a mayhem. Make sure you watch until the end of the video because things are getting intense. Make sure you drop a like on the video and subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed. I love you all, and let's just start here. Trump then touches down in Davos, Switzerland. Again, not prepared or not calm, he arrives already in a manic state as he always is. Now, he's so mad at this that he didn't even let off a Truth Social post. It's crazy because one time some gardener scraped the sidewalk and he wrote like 4 meltdown tantrum posts about that. But this must have had him just so tired and so pissed that he didn't even post anything. It says, Trump then touched down in Switzerland late after Air Force One problem. Trump touched down 2 hours late. Now it's Marine One to Davos. And his World Economic Forum speech is still slated for 2:30 local time. That is going to be a disaster. We saw how tired he was yesterday. Just imagine how tired he'll be today. Even his arrival managed to disrupt the schedule, a fitting tone setter for Davos this year. And that's one of the main points I want to highlight. In this clip right here, as a tired, decrepit, and old Donald Trump begins to descend the steps of Air Force One, or whatever flight they ended up taking, that's actually not Air Force One, it's Marine One. As he descends the steps of Marine One, it feels like this is about to enter the United States into a new era of global humiliation. Now, of course, ever since Trump took office the first time and a year ago, we have been humiliated. But this trip in particular, the vibes I'm getting from this trip is that Donald Trump wants to walk in here and twist the arm of essentially every single world leader there. He's already been placing tariffs. World leaders have already been punching back. I mean, look at Mark Carney yesterday. Before Trump is even there, Mark Carney has to stand up for the sovereignty of NATO allies.
On Arctic sovereignty, we stand firmly with Greenland and Denmark and fully support their unique right to determine Greenland's future. Our commitment to NATO's Article 5 is unwavering. So we're working with our NATO allies, including the Nordic Baltic 8, to further secure the alliance's northern and western flanks, including through Canada's unprecedented investments in over-the-horizon radar, in submarines, in aircraft, and boots on the ground. Boots on the ice. Canada strongly opposes tariffs over Greenland, and calls for focused talks to achieve our shared objectives of security and prosperity in the Arctic.
Okay, I agree with everything Mark Carney said there, and I am on Mark Carney's side here because Trump is being an unhinged lunatic, but I intrinsically deeply wish that these world leaders like Mark Carney and Macron and the other world leaders involved would stand up in a much more firm way. Here's the problem. They treat Donald Trump like he's Voldemort. Like, Mark Carney didn't even say his name there. None of the world leaders actually say Trump's name when they're trying to take a dig. They either write a strongly worded letter, not aimed at anyone, or they give a speech not really aimed at anyone, just broadly talking about sovereignty. You see the problem here? This is such Trump term one stuff. And even Gavin Newsom was saying this at Davos. Gavin Newsom showed up as the counterweight to the United States. And Gavin Newsom at Davos was like, are we really? He said, I'm going to get out my knee pads because why are we just gifting things to Trump? And I agree. Can all the world leaders sit on stage together and say, we are not going to acknowledge the United States president until he starts acting like an adult and like the United States president? Can they all sit there and say to the United States people, we love you, we want to work with you, but your president is so unhinged that you need to reel him in? Like, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way for these world leaders to combine without Trump going into an absolute meltdown tantrum. But of course, he will. This is him tiredly walking over to Air Force One. I mean, even later on, you see he can't even walk straight. You think he's going to start walking over to the left right here? What? Okay, now he's going over. I don't know. That happens to me when I'm very, very, very tired. So I'm assuming he is. Now, Michael McFaul makes the key point right here. This is very important. Trump has forced all of Europe to discuss the completely invented threat of Russian annexation of Greenland and thereby ignore the actual Russian war and annexation in Ukraine. Very regrettable. In Davos, the paramount subject should be Ukraine, not Greenland. That's one of the things that really, truly bothers me about all of this. Trump is touching down in a masturbatory, narcissistic, attention whore type way. He's trying to direct all of the attention of the event on himself and on his ambition for Greenland. In doing so, we are ignoring a lot of actual global threats that need so much care and attention. We need to be focusing in an intentional way on Russian aggression in Eastern Europe, on Chinese aggression, on the bot farms that are being created by China, Iran, and Russia to weaken the cohesion of Western alliances. Do you know how much Russia is salivating? China is salivating? All of our enemies are salivating when they see all of us distracted on Donald Trump's weird petty ambitions and none of us focused on the actual aggression that is going on? Like, check this out. Prime Minister Keir Starmer gets asked in this speech, not about Russian aggression, not about important economic stuff, but he gets asked about the United States and whether or not Donald Trump is sane enough to run it. Not only does he get asked that once, but two different times he gets asked, hey, is the United States even sane enough to be trusted at this point? So Donald Trump lands in Davos, irritated, late, ready to take the stage. He's, of course, going to posture, rant, and be a huge asshole when we have world leaders who were already sick of him, already saying he's absolutely insane. Trump spent the past 4 years saying that we were being humiliated on the global stage by Biden, but that's not true. Trump is the one who humiliates us. He's going to show up in his crazy orange makeup. I mean, on a human-to-human level. At the end of the day, when all these world leaders go convene and go grab a drink on their own without inviting Trump, I think the thing that they'll talk about is, number one, his crazy makeup. They'll be like, could you believe? Did you see Trump's makeup today? How is this a real human being? I don't get it. And then they'll say, and he's really talking like Vladimir Putin. We really should begin to do something. He's what you call, Donald Trump is what you call the second group chat guy. So with every friend group, there's usually a second group chat that doesn't have, you know, a few people from the main group chat. Trump is never included in the second group chat because they are always making fun of him. Look at Keir Starmer being asked about the craziness of Trump.
This morning, the Norwegian Prime Minister has received a message from President Trump, basically saying the President is peeved because he didn't get the Nobel Peace Prize. Whilst I'm sure everyone watching this will fully understand why there is a need for the UK and US to kind of keep collaboration and link so close, can you understand why some voters look at what President Trump does and says and think, are we actually serious? Can we actually get anything from him?
Yeah, just on... I completely understand why what President Trump said about tariffs over the weekend has been so badly received in this country. I completely understand that. I think that's understandable, and it's important that that is met with me setting out as Prime Minister from the, of the United Kingdom, what our principles and values are in response to that.
I mean, I agree, you should lay out your principles and values, but even the wording that Keir Starmer uses here gives too many concessions to Donald Trump. He says, basically, I see why people in this country are reacting badly to what Trump said. No, that's a soft way of putting it. You should say, I see why what Trump said was absolutely unhinged and everyone is justified for reacting how they are. Just his entire framing of it's very weird, especially considering a few days later in Davos, this is very, very surreal, in Davos, official Danish archives show Woodrow Wilson's 1916 signature and Secretary of State Robert Lansing committing U.S. by treaty that Denmark has a right to the whole of Greenland after Trump denied any sort of written rights. Apparently at Davos, they are not only talking about this, they are passing around a printout of this, they are showing people this, making sure that everybody understands what the scenario is. I can't believe the U.S. Era of global humiliation has been uttered in so incredibly fast. I'm going to leave it there. Drop a like, subscribe. I love you all. Peace out.